Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Product Sourcing and eBiz Show, brought to you by WorldwideBrands.com.
Joining us today, I'm Chris Malta.
And I'm Colette Marshall.
Many online sellers think of product sourcing in terms of finding a product to sell rather than building a complete product line. But your customers are usually interested in other related products as well, and by sourcing them, you can greatly improve your customers' sales and satisfaction. Today we're talking to popular eBiz author Dr. Ralph Wilson, who has been quoted by everyone from ABC Online to the Wall Street Journal about using cross-sellers and upsellers to move your business's bottom line. Dr. Wilson, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So how do you define cross-selling and upselling?
Well, cross-selling is where you're selling one product, but you're also giving information about similar products as well as accessories to the product. So if you're selling revolvers, you sell silver bullets.
Right.
You're selling silver bullets, you're also selling an ammunition belt. So
right.
The idea is that they're there for one visit, but instead of just buying one item, they might buy two. They might buy an accessory or something with it. So that's cross-selling. Upselling is where they come looking for one product, but end up buying something that's somewhat more expensive. So they come looking at good and buy better or best.
You know, we use an example that relates to upselling all the time where you use a loss leader, something that you don't actually make a whole lot of profit on or even lose profit on. Say, for example, a cheap two-slice toaster, and then you put it right next to the big four-slice Bagel Master.
How do cross-selling and upselling affect conversion rates, Dr. Wilson?
Well, if someone comes to your store looking for a particular product, maybe through pay-per-click advertising or maybe through some search engine, they'll take a look at the product and say, is that what I want, yes or no? But if you offer not only that product but two or three that are similar to it, now they have a choice, and the chances of them buying are a whole lot better than they were if you just had one product. I think the real masters at this are Amazon.
Yes.
I was about to say that myself.
I mean, they keep track of what you've looked at in the past and what you've purchased. And the next time you come, you may be looking for something entirely different, but they're going to be showing you different things. And when you look at their conversion rates, last time I looked, I haven't looked this year, they were at 14% conversion rate. When someone comes to their store, the chances are 14% that they're going to walk out having bought something.
Yeah,
and
well,
it often isn't the kind of thing they came in to buy.
Like you say, sometimes people are not exactly sure what they're wanting to buy. So if you give them choices, they're more likely to buy instead of going somewhere else.
And it may be that when they come in the door, they're not sure of what they want. But in the process of looking at the two or three or four choices that you give them, now they say, okay, I think this is what I want and why. Otherwise, they might be doing that shopping through several stores or several pay-per-click ads. They're making their decision on what they want to buy. Now they're doing it in your store.
Now, we find that a lot of people who start eBiz don't do this at the beginning. For example, we find a lot of people who get married to a single product they want to sell, and that's all they want to sell. They don't want to hear about anything else, but there's so much opportunity here.
Yeah, well, that's how people get started. They get excited about selling some particular thing, but that's not how they end up succeeding as an online retailer. They have to grow and mature. We probably have some listeners now that have one or two products that are doing okay, but the next step now is to broaden what they're offering within a narrow niche.
Let's talk about placement. So what is the recommended placement of cross-sell and upsell promotions?
Well, there are several things to do. One is you always ought to have on the home page of your store various new products or high markup products, something that's going to attract attention, and rotate those. The ones that you show that are popular are likely to sell quite well. So they may have come to your store looking for something else, but they see that on your front page and click into it. So your home page of your site is one place. A second place that you'll want to put cross-sell kinds of items is on the product page with the item that they may be looking at. So let's say I'm looking at a down vest. On the right side at Land's End, it will show several other down vests or vests of that type that are alternatives. So your product page is a great place to show the accessories or the similar kinds of items. The third place is on your checkout pages. So they put something in their shopping cart and you show them an accessory to it. Or perhaps you show them something even better or something bundled. So on the front page, on the product page, on the checkout page. Another place that some of the larger companies particularly are doing this is they have their pay-per-click ads come into a sectional page that will show a number of items in a section. So that's a form of cross-sell right there.
When you talk about accessories, that's one thing we recommend. We see so many people who start out in this business and want to start in electronics. It's always the thing. You know, they always want to sell, you know, the Wii's and the Nintendos and the, you know, the cell phones and all those kinds of things, where the real money in those markets is often made in the accessories.
I've always thought about, you know, HP sells these printers for really low prices.
Oh, yeah.
But have you ever tried to go and buy ink?
Yeah, in cables.
It's actually locked in.
It's ink and cables. You know what? That's where they make their money. I've actually talked to some of the big box stores about that. The printers themselves, I mean, they're getting some manufacturers' rebates and so forth because they're buying so many at a time. But they're selling the printers for just about a break even, sometimes even less. But they know they've got you for that ink. They know they've got you for a $30 cable. We tell so many people that, look, if you want to sell electronics, it's a tough market, but where you really can make some money is in the accessories, and I think that's true for just about any kind of product. So you mentioned bundling as a form of upsell. Bundling, of course, has been going on for a long time. Why would you say it's so popular?
Well, when you think about it, if you sell one product with a 40% margin, you make a 40% of $10.
Right.
But if you sell two products bundled together, your margin might not be quite as high, but now you're making 35% of $30. And so bundling makes a huge amount of sense. Amazon does this with their book. I'm a big book fan, and so I'll go and look at a book, and right below the description of the book, it'll say, you can buy this book and this book together for only such and such. The deal that they offer is really not all that good as far as extra savings, but they must be successful at it, or they wouldn't keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be a moneymaker for them. Just the idea of buying this with this, just suggesting that to the customer puts the thought in their mind. And enough people buy that, they've made a little bit of extra money right there.
Right, and that's where your bundling is actually a form of associating other products with the original product,
exactly.
Right? Now, in some cases, you can also bundle products together from the beginning,
right.
As in, you know, baskets or, you know, just an assortment of just products that fit together. And when you do that, then you eliminate people's ability to cross-compare pricing. So if you've got one popular item, but you bundle it together with two other accessories that go with it, and you set one price on the whole thing, then people can't go cross-check the pricing on the original item against other sites.
The larger companies do this by getting a special model number from the manufacturer that's a little bit different than anybody else, and so you can't do the price comparisons quite as easily
about
it.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing it gives you is a unique product that's on your site. You know, when you create your own gift basket and you bundle that together, it's something unique that buyers may not find anywhere else. Something I've seen quite a lot is free shipping with bundling.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been seeing that a lot as well?
Oh, I think it was very popular this last Christmas season in particular. I read the statistic someplace that half the retailers out there, on internet retailers, were offering some form of that. I think Amazon has been a pioneer in a lot of things in online retailing. A couple of years ago, they cut their advertising a great deal during Christmas, but instead put that money into offering free shipping for $25 or more price. And it was a real success for them. Like I said, I'm a book kind of guy, and so I've got some books that I might buy, except it says, you know, for only $6.25, you can get free shipping. I say, whoa, what can I buy for $6.25?
There you go.
So now, instead of buying something for $18, I'm buying something for $25, $26, $28, so I can get free shipping.
Right.
And whether or not I actually save any money on the deal, it's the idea of, gee, I can save money. Another form of bundling that is very common for retailing, both online and offline, is quantity. If you buy one, it's at this price. If you buy four, it's a little bit less. If you buy 10, you can get 25% off. I think a lot of online retailers haven't been at this as long as some of the traditional store retailers and haven't learned some of those tricks, but quantity discounts is one of those things, and a lot of online stores support that in the pricing module that'll allow you to offer those kinds of discounts.
Right, and of course these fit for certain products and not others. You can't offer 10 sleeping bags at a discount, but you can offer 10 reusable products at a discount. So
right.
Look for the products that people reuse and are going to need more of anyway.
But you might offer two sleeping bags for a discount rather than one.
That's right. It's a Valentine's Day package, right?
There you go.
This is where a light bulb wholesale and liquidation is such a great asset as an online retailer to be utilizing, because you can create such great bundles that you can sell online.
Right. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to explain to people that multiple sources of products are very important. You know, the product sourcing is not just a one-time thing. You don't source one product, find one wholesaler, and say, okay, I'm done now. I'm just going to go sell this. Sourcing your products is just really something that lasts for the lifetime of your business. It's just an evolving process. Do you have an example of cross-selling?
Well, we mentioned Amazon. Yeah. It shows you product, and I mentioned Land's End. I was doing this article on cross-selling and looking at various stores to see how they did it. And apparel stores do this all the time. A few apparel stores offer a whole range of products of the same kind, but most of them offer accessories that go with that kind of apparel. So if you're getting a shirt, here's some shoes, or here's a tie, that kind of thing. So instead of offering other options of the same, they offer the accessories that go with it.
You know, I'm going to do some clothes shopping later on today, and the store that I like to go to, they'll even have things like men's watches and men's colognes and things like that right there at the counter, which is basically the same thing as the displays that you see at the supermarket checkouts, right? Just impulse buys.
One of the keys to this is testing.
Yes.
See what is working and then do more of what's working.
I think that's a word we can't say enough. Test, 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 test. It's one of the most important things in any business. Tell us a little bit more of how you can use testing with upselling and cross-selling.
Well, one thing that's happened in the last couple of years is the emergence of the Google Website Optimizer tool, which is free and allows you to do simple A-B split testing. Split testing basically is you have one form of a web page here, and that's type A, and then this type B has one simple change from the other, and you test to see which produces better. So with that Google website optimization tool, you can test product pages, landing pages, all sorts of things. The difficulty for smaller businesses is if we don't get enough traffic to those pages and enough sales from those pages, it's difficult to get enough information to be statistically valid.
Right.
But it's important to be thinking in terms of which is working better, even if you're getting kind of anecdotal information.
We've seen this. Just one or two simple words on a page can change conversion.
Yeah. The headline especially,
yes,
makes a big difference. Big difference.
One technique you had mentioned earlier about sending traffic straight to sectional pages. I've heard Google Optimizer is a great tool and ways to do that where you're offering all your different product bundles and different product lines, you know, upselling, cross-selling, straight to those sectional pages.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Website Optimizer is the tool that will do all that for you, but there's kind of a higher-end product Mercado puts out. They produce search systems for larger online retailers. So when someone does a product search on the particular website, they come up with merchandise in such a way they get higher sales. But one of the things Mercado, and I'm sure some of its competitors, has built in is when someone comes to the site with a particular keyword that's either searched on or comes from a pay-per-click source, when they see that word, it will create a landing page designed for someone coming with that keyword so that it will not only show the product that they think you're looking for, but several that you might be looking for. So it's harder for small retailers to be able to do that, but the larger retailers will find that that kind of software will start to bring them some real benefits.
And, you know, the small retailers, following all the advice we've been talking about so far, will become larger retailers and be able to use that functionality.
Let me give you an example of upselling that I've used on my site for some time. I've written a number of e-books about various aspects of online marketing and sales. So they'll look at the e-book, and then at the bottom of the page it says you can buy this e-book for only $14.95 or whatever the price is. But for only $49.95, you can get this plus 12 other ebooks. Now, you say, well, gee, you're giving so much away. Well, it's true, I am, but it's only electrons.
Yes.
And right. Instead of leaving my store with $14.95 sales total, they leave the store with $49.95 sales total. It's not a way of deceiving people. It's actually a way of leading them to a huge opportunity. But this idea of upsell really increases the sales total.
Let's jump into small business. You know, you were talking about Mercado, and you mentioned the website software and so forth. Do all small business carts allow you to cross-sell and upsell, or are there limitations there?
Well, I was looking here a few months ago at that question, and what I found was nearly all of the ones that try to stay, you know, up to date and improve their carts are offering cross-selling. I mean, there are a few shopping carts out there. Typically, some web hosting service will provide them free. Well, you know, if you want free, you get free.
Right.
And typically, those are ones that don't have an economic reason to improve their software and therefore don't.
Yeah.
But the ones that you have to pay something for, typically, there's enough cash flow in those shopping cart businesses that they can hire a staff that'll keep improving that product over the years. And so cross-selling and related upselling is there in nearly all the shopping cart programs whose names are well known out there. Now, some are more flexible than others. Some are more automatic than others in the way they do this. But, you know, I looked at, well, Miva Merchant, Lagarde Storefront, Yahoo Merchant Solutions, ShopSite Pro, Monster Commerce, Oz Commerce, and several knockoffs of Oz Commerce, and a number of the leading carts out there, you can do this. Typically, what's involved is an online store is run through a database. Now, the small stores that sell one or two products don't worry about this, but if you've got 100 products, you typically are doing the modifications to your store in, an Excel spreadsheet or an Access database, and then uploading that database to your store on a regular basis so it'll include the updates.
Right.
Well, what's involved with cross-selling is there will be a field for every product that will allow you to list similar products that you want to show up, or accessories or whatever that you want to show up when that product is displayed in the product page. And so you can associate, using that field, you can associate one product with several other products.
Yes.
Then when you upload that file to your online store, those other products will be mentioned or shown, or maybe a little thumbnail will be shown. What I found is it's not quite as typical to have the flexibility to show all this stuff in the shopping cart. Some small business online stores have that sophistication, but most don't. But on the product pages, it's very common and not all that hard to do. I mean, you have to take the time for each product, list the associated products in your database, but once that's done, then it's pretty straightforward.
You know, Dr. Wilson, what kind of results could a seller expect from emphasizing cross-selling and upselling in their store?
Well, it's going to vary, I'm sure, from store to store. But I would think that at least 10%, maybe 20% increase in revenue would result from using those kinds of techniques well.
Now, that's nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's not. And it could be more in some cases, but I think that those kinds of numbers are quite reasonable to see happening. Now, you have to work at rolling this out through your entire store. But the nice thing about cross-sell and upsell is, without increasing your marketing expense, that is, you know, pay-per-click ads to get people to your store, for example, you're increasing your sales total. When you increase your sales total, you increase your profits. So this is big.
Yeah, it is. It's so important for people to understand these things. So many people, unfortunately, we see start an online business and say, well, I tried to sell this and I can't sell it, so online business doesn't work, forget
this.
Yeah,
I know. I've met those people, too.
And then you see the people who we've met, so many of them, who just build from nothing. They start with a couple of products, and they build these phenomenally varied stores, but within the same product line, like a camping store, for example, and they carry all, you know, some unique items, some standard items, some low cost, some high cost. They're bundling, they're cross-selling.
Yeah.
They just get the concept.
Yeah.
They do so well.
You still get these people that want to make money on the internet without any work. And it doesn't work that way. Now, the beautiful thing about the internet is it's a huge marketplace. But you still have to work, and you have to work hard to stay ahead of your competitors and really offer to your customers what will motivate them and encourage them to buy and then have good quality to give them when you sell it to them.
Absolutely. What do you think about using a loss leader for
example? I think that's a tremendous idea, particularly if you get a good buy on it yourself.
What we tell people is that you can find liquidated products within your product area. If you find a liquidation on some items, you can use those as a draw to bring people into your store.
And I think this is a matter of learning. We try something and we find, well, that didn't work. So you try something else. Oh, that worked.
Right.
And just keep building this. One thing I want to encourage people is stretch yourself. Try something new. Experiment with some of these cross-selling, upselling techniques that we've talked about. Try on a little basis and then roll it out a little bit bigger as you see it working. But don't do the same old thing you did last year.
That all ties back to testing.
Right? Another one of my philosophies is every year cut off the bottom 10% of your business. The stuff that isn't working, just don't offer it anymore. Get rid of it. And then add the things that you see as growth items.
That's such a good point, so very simply put, that it seems like it should be obvious, but it's not. It's something that you have to actually say to realize.
Well, we're afraid of getting rid of things sometimes. But yeah, to succeed, we need to keep moving.
And keep moving we will. That is our time for today with Dr. Ralph Wilson of WilsonWeb.com. Thank you very much for being here. Always a pleasure. I'm Chris Malta.
And I'm Colette Marshall.
Today's Entrepreneur Product Sourcing and eBiz show has been brought to you by WorldwideBrands.com and Entrepreneur.com. Join us again next week for more free eBiz education with the Internet's leading product sourcing experts.